Okay, good afternoon, everyone.
Yeah, oh, hello. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 18. While you're turning there, this is fun. I like this screen here. Yeah. My wife, we were watching. I should put my mask back on. It's not, I should preach like this. My wife and I were watching on YouTube this morning, and my wife was laughing at me because she knew this would be useless for me. So, also, in the Japanese service this morning, Katsuya and Eriko were doing their announcement, and it was great, but we had a special blessing today because Eriko's father gave us the story. You know, he did not have the chance to tell that story in the Japanese service, so we're blessed. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that wonderful story. Yeah, I'm full. That's great. I can go home now. So, yeah, I was praying about my message for today. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do for this sermon? And he answered. He talked to me. He spoke to me. He said, keep it short. So we'll just keep it short. Not a long sermon today. Is that okay? Yeah? Amen. All right, fine. So we're going to read, verse 18 to verse 30. And I'll start. Please join me from verse 26. Yeah, from verse 26. Okay. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give a false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All of these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Let's read together. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. The very words of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to keep this very short, so let me get straight to the point. Look at verse 26 and 27. It's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And then 27, who then can be saved? What is impossible with man is possible with God. Every Christian knows that he or she is saved only by God's miracle. Your salvation, if you are a Christian, is only possible with God. You did not deserve it. You did not earn it. You did not make God pay you or owe you anything. It is a gift of God, and it was only possible through Him. All of your blessings, all of your goodness, all of your righteousness, every good thing that you can do and that you have is from God. Every Christian knows this. That's why we can sing and shout and dance and lift up our hands and we can say, "Thank you, God, for saving me. A wretch and blind man I was." Actually, the next story in this chapter is about a blind man who receives his sight. And I think, this is my Habakkuk interpretation, the story of the blind man being healed by Jesus is connected to this story. The blind man in this story was the ruler. Why was he blind? Because he thought Jesus is only a teacher. He thought, okay, I'm a ruler, and in Matthew and in Mark, he's young. He's a young ruler, and he's also rich, we can see. He thought, I have enough money, I have enough power, I have enough status, I have enough security, I am significant, but maybe Jesus can give me something a little more. And he thinks, Jesus, you're a teacher. Please be my teacher, Jesus. Please be my guru. Be my guide. Be a sensei for me. He was blind. Because Jesus is trying to tell him through this conversation, if I am not your God, I cannot be your teacher. If I am not your Savior, your relationship with me means nothing. That's what he's saying. Don't call me good. I don't need flattery. God is good. So if you think I'm God, you don't need to call me good. You just know I'm good if I'm God. But if not, I'm just another man. But I'm not a good man. I am the God man. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's what money does to us. Money makes us blind. That's what it does. Money and wealth and treasure and bank accounts and cash and possessions, clothes, houses, smartphones, tablets, computers, everything that we have in Japan makes us blind to our need for a Savior. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's why Jesus says, yeah, it's hard for a rich, not rich man, he says it's hard for, it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom. How hard is it? How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom? Well, you know, when you're working in your tent shop and you have the two pieces of leather and you have the needle and you're trying to stitch or sew the pieces of leather together to make a tent, you have that needle. Think of the eye of that needle. Imagine a camel going through that needle. That's how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. How hard is it? It's impossible. See, the disciples understood. A camel going through the needle, muridus. Right? Muri. Arienai. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why the disciples said, yeah, it's impossible. So then, Jesus, how can anyone be saved? Verse 26. And Jesus says, yeah, you're right. It's a miracle. It is 100% God's grace. How is it a miracle? How is it God's grace? Okay, last 5 minutes and we're good. How is it God's grace? This is the gospel, the good news. I want you to look at verse 23. Yeah, yeah. It's up the top there. When the ruler heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. It says sad. It's not a good translation. I don't know what the Nihongo is. What's the Nihongo? Does anybody remember? Anyways, komatta? It's okay. Very sad. It's not a good word because it's kind of, well, nayanda? Kanashi? Yeah, that's not good either. Let me tell you, in the Greek, it means there's a better word. In the old English, it says he grieved. He's weeping. So very sad. Kanashi, mazetsubo. What happened? Okay. Yeah, very, 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 he's grieving. There's another place where this word is used. It's in Matthew chapter 26. I think it's verse 6. You don't have to go there. I'll tell you the story. There was another young man. He also was very rich. He was actually the richest ever. And not only was he young and rich, he was also a ruler. He ruled the entire universe. Young man named Jesus of Nazareth, who was the wealthiest, most wealthy. There's no describing how wealthy, how rich, how powerful he is. And he is in the garden called Gethsemane. And in this garden, he is thinking about the next day when he will die, when he will carry the sin of all the world. But more than that, you know what he was going to do? He was going to give up all his power, all his wealth, all his security. But more than that, he was going to give up the one relationship that mattered the most. He was going to be separated from his love, his life, his center. He would be set apart from the Father. He was going to give it all away. And he was so shocked and so grieved, same word. He was sweating blood. He had so much anxiety and stress. You see, Jesus knew when he was talking to this rich young ruler, I'm going to give away everything for the poor, the blind, the naked, the orphan, the foreigner. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I do. My giving is very big. What I'm asking you to do is actually very small. For you, it's very big. But here's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was trying to open his eyes. Let me put it another way. Jesus was trying to set him free. Amen? Because money and wealth, the things we own, they own us. If I ask you, go ahead, sell all of your things, give it to the poor, what do you think? Can you say, yes, okay, I'll do it? No, even I can't do that. Especially me, kid, I can't do that. I have a motorcycle, I love my motorcycle. I cannot give that away. It's very old, but I love it. But no, it's silly. Or how about when you're very sad and you're lonely and you're depressed, how do you get happy? You go on Amazon.com. You go to Rakuten. You press purchase, and I feel better. Right? No, not amen. You say, ouch, right? Right? Or you see, for me, I walk around, sometimes I walk around my neighborhood. I'll see a nice house. I'll see a beautiful car, and I think, Ina, that would be nice. Yeah, we are slaves. We are chained to our money, our possessions, our wealth. Even if it's a small thing, the things we own actually own us. And Jesus says, I am dying to set you free from your master. That's what I'm trying to do. Now, I'll close with one last quote. There was a man named Malcolm X, Muslim from America. I read his biography many years ago. There's only one thing that I remember from Malcolm X. He said, if you are not ready to die for this, the word freedom should not be in your vocabulary. If you're not willing to die for it, you shouldn't use it. In Galatians, it says that it is for freedom that Christ set us free. And the way that Jesus set us free from the love of money, from the power of riches, the way that he set us free from our addiction to world's wealth is he died. He was the rich young ruler who became the slave to everyone and gave his life as a ransom. The only way, this is it, the only way that you will be set free from your love of money is if you see how beautiful, how wonderful, how great is his love for you. You cannot say to money, I don't love you anymore. I reject you, money and power and wealth. You don't do that. You just don't get rid of one God. Because if you do that, another God will come in and make you a slave. If you don't love money, then you're going to love sex or comfort or pleasure. You're going to love status and influence and position. Our heart is a factory for an idol. So you get rid of one, another one comes. This is how you are set free from all of these idols. You replace your God with the one true God. And how do you replace your love of one God? You worship the one who is real. You see Jesus opening his arms, dying so that you can live. You see Jesus opening his hands, giving all of his wealth so that you can be rich. It says in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians, he who was rich became poor so that by his poverty we can become rich. You don't need anything except Jesus Christ. And if you have Jesus, you have all that you will ever need. Amen? That's what he's saying. You give up your family, your wife, your husband, your kids, your everything. You have everything you need. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me with you, your love, your grace, your power, your goodness. Let's thank him together. Please pray with me. Oh God, thank you so much for salvation, a new life. Thank you that I am a new creation. Thank you that you set me free from other things that will crush me. I once was blind, but now I see. It was not only amazing grace, it was amazing love, God. And so I gather with my brothers and sisters, rejoicing in the good news of your great love. So God, I pray that this message, this news, would wash me over again, fill me with new power, and let me go with a greater love for you and for my people. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.